when employers interview fresh grads or interns, what they really look for is how you're able to talk about your experiences and what experiences you have.
Once, but for some, still lost in trying to learn at their own pace. Welcome to Misconceptions, where I talk about common struggles and misconceptions as we all navigate through life, career, and adulting. Let's face it, there's no real handbook out there to guide us. Let us all grow together as you join me in this podcast journey. Welcome to another episode of Misconceptions. So joining us today is a very admirable woman, both in the field of brand marketing and also in indoor cycling business. I'll do a brief introduction about Jam. So Jam graduated in 2012 with a degree in BS Management with a minor in marketing and minor in French studies from the Ateneo de Manila University. She also worked for Unilever for 8 years, handling different kinds of brands, which we're all very much familiar with. You know, it varies across deodorant, oral care, and hair care categories. She's also currently the marketing manager of Johnson's Baby for J&J Philippines. And given all those things that I've shared so far, you might think that her schedule is already packed as it is, but she actually has been teaching indoor cycling for Electric Studio for 4 years now. So again, welcome Jam, and thank you so much again for sparing your time today. And I hope I get to keep up with your energy today.
Wow. No, hi, Mish. It's been a while. So I'm super happy to be able to talk to you again.
Thank you. How are you lately? And how have you been coping up with the pandemic so far? I mean, we haven't seen each other for so long. And I think I haven't attended one of your classes.
Yeah. It's been years. Which you should with your office mate soon. But yeah, things have been super good. I think despite everything that's been going on, and I think that's been like a constant theme for everyone, despite everything that's been going on. Things have been good, and thankfully, we're work from home, so that's my situation right now. And even for Electric, that's also teaching from home, so it's been a lot of spending time indoors with my family, and work has also been the same. So. Everyone, I think, made a huge adjustment in Q2 when we all moved from the office to just working from the house. But and it's an ongoing process, I think, for most everyone. But so far, things have been good.
Well, that's great to hear. I promise I will, you know, try one of your classes one of these days. But yeah, there.
Yeah, soon. Like I'm gonna guess you for sure. like when things are back to normal.
Yeah, so I'm so happy. Actually, I've only seen it a bit from, you know, my friends' Instagram stories and also your Instagram stories. How is it different, you know, doing the Electric Studio classes at home? You know, I think before this pandemic, we never knew it could be possible. But right now, everyone's just adapting to the current situation. It really amazes me, you know, how people could basically think of two ways to basically continue doing business, not just for Electric, but also for other businesses.
Yep. Well, it's been very different because we're a community, right? So we really thrive on the energy from other people, especially when you ride together. So for sure, it's been tough, but you know, it's just great to see that even online people want to ride together. I mean, you can always work out by yourself, but just to see everybody wanting to go online at the same time, to sort of feel each other's presence somehow. It's not the same as being in the studio physically, but it definitely helps. It helps the energy of, and it sort of motivates you also if you're that kind of person, because I'm that kind of person. Like I work out better when I have somebody else to work out with. So being able to do that with Electric is definitely a good thing. It's a great thing.
That's great to hear. You know, I think that's one thing that I kept trying to do over the pandemic. I've been trying to exercise at home, basically make use of all the exercise equipment bought in the past, which I haven't been using it at all. So now that I'm, you know, we're locked here at home and I'm able to use it, finally I realized, oh, nga pala, at least nabili ko siya in the past and now nagagamit ko na siya. And yeah, I think it helps.
ROI na.
I think it helps because it actually allows me to be more active. It allows me to give that energy before I start working in the day. So yeah.
No, I super agree. And a lot of people, so what this pandemic has done is it made people also recalibrate what works better for them. So if you work out better in the morning or at night, you can do that. And also things like, do you like it better when you work out by yourself, or do you get more motivated when you work out with a group of people? So that's also super important. And I think that's something people have figured out along the way because we've been in lockdown for so long.
I agree.
So yeah.
Okay, so let's now talk about the question that I often receive from my friends who are still in college. Do grades matter, or are grades the only thing that matter? I guess kasi iba siya, diba? When we were in grade school or when we were in high school, sometimes if you don't study, may chance na papasa ka pa. Mm-hmm. Pagdating mo sa college, iba talaga eh. Kasi kahit mag-aral ka,
yeah.
And there's still that chance that you won't pass. Kasi ang hirap, or it's just really totally different.
Yeah.
So I guess that's one of the main points of our discussion today. So yeah, so when I first thought about this topic, you're actually the first person that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've shared this with you in the past that I really admire your passion and energy back in college where you were doing so many things, not just as an officer of AMA, but also when you were leading the TNT or Talk and Tourist Army back in college. And I think before you answer the question, why don't you share your journey back in college and share what worked for you?
Yeah. I love talking about college. College Ateneo was great. I'm a crossbreed. So I come from La Salle Zabel. That was my high school. So I was one of very few Zabel people who went to Ateneo. And the reason why I chose Ateneo was because I wanted to be in an environment where I was not used to seeing a lot of people I knew. And I graduated. So as you mentioned, my course was management. I'm XH. So I think we were the batch with the most number of people who tried to do management honors. I think there were 3 blocks. These days, parang 2 blocks na lang, I think. But we all shifted out in second year. And yeah, I ended up joining the home org, AMA. I became HR vice president there. I became a TNT, which is like, if you're in Ateneo, it is one of the best decisions ever that you make in college. So I became part of the core in third year and eventually headed the TNTs in fourth year. And I also took a double minor in management and in French studies. So I guess I did keep myself busy because I just wanted to maximize the experience Ateneo had for me, you know. It's only 4 years that you get to spend in college. So I think my mindset really was, why not just make the most of it?
Ang tagal ko lang hindi narinig yung XH. I'm actually an XH myself.
It's real. Like, I'm a living, like, I'm part of that specimen. Yeah. And there are a lot of us. And by the way, like, a lot of XH people, like my blockmates, my course mates, have turned out to be very successful. So if you're XH, like, it's not the end of the world. So yeah, that was definitely
a fun time. Ask pa ako, because I'm also XH myself. But yeah. Sa akin, we only have 2 blocks. So it's Q and Q1 back then. So I guess you had Q2 pa.
Yeah. I was Q2. Yeah. We were Q2. So it was definitely it was good because at least, you know, there were more people who shifted out and you were like, you didn't feel as bad because there were so many people who also left anyway. So it was it was fun.
So I guess this is the burning question. Given that, you know, you've shared all your experiences in college, you even have a double minor back then. Do you think grades are that important in securing your first job, or is that the only thing that, you know, if we were to weight it in like a certain percentage versus other activities that you've done,
sure,
does grade really matter the most?
Yeah, so the short answer is no, but I speak from experience, from being able to get a good job straight out of college. But that said, I wouldn't encourage everybody to just rely on extracurriculars alone. It's not like I was failing my classes, you know what I mean? So it's still important to put in that effort. And if you look at the grand scheme of things, I mean, it's not like I had honors or anything, so I didn't graduate with honors. But at the same time, I did make an effort to, you know, I was interested in marketing, so I got a minor in marketing. I wanted to learn a new language, so I got a minor in French. So, and those things are also like not easy to go through. So it really depends. It's still important to put in that effort. But at the same time, just from a perspective, so I'll talk about this in two ways. The first is, when people say that, you know, because normally in college it's like, there are times when I don't really need to study and I'll just like pass and whatever. But what I've realized is the consistent effort to get something done is very important, especially when you are juggling so many other things, especially when you are participating in your orgs or maybe in a small business that you're doing on the side, because I know that's people start that early now. And the consistent effort to just put in a bit of time every day to get something done academically, that discipline is so important, and it's going to pay off in the long run more than, you know, just trying to cram your way through everything. The second is that when employers interview fresh grads or interns, what they really look for is how you're able to talk about your experiences and what experiences you have. So getting a high grade or having a credential and just putting it on paper might get you the interview. But at the end of the day, like when you are talking to your potential employer, how you're able to talk about yourself is a whole another ball game, you know what I mean? And that is not developed by simply studying and getting those grades. It's also about how you interact with other people, how your people skills are developed. And more often than not, that's really through exposure in orgs and in things where you have to talk to people and work with people to get something done. So that was a long answer.
No.
But the short answer is no, it's definitely not everything. And I say that both as someone who went through the motions in college and also as someone who ended up interviewing, you know, people who ended up in the companies I've worked for.
No, that I really appreciate it. And actually I really echo what you just said right there. I mean, from my experience, I've been super grade conscious when I was younger, and growing up, I think that was the kind of environment, you know, the usual Asian parents kind of upbringing, right? But then after a while, especially when I reached college, it started, you know, drifting to the extracurricular part, because I think, like what you said, it's really how you interact with other people, how you're able to basically, you know, organize all these events at the side of your academic. It is really where you learn firsthand, and also it kind of mirrors what you do in the corporate world or in the real world, basically, because you deal with different teams, you interact with other people, and then you start you know, especially when you handle bigger events in orgs, then you started, you know, becoming more responsible for bigger things, basically. And I think I also like what you said about you know, college students nowadays start their businesses earlier, because I actually know a lot of college students now who basically have their own business or, you know, start doing part-time jobs. Like at that point in time when I was in college, I only had to worry about extracurricular activities within Ateneo and also my studies. But now there's, you know, this third thing apart from the extracurricular activities that you have in orgs. And I think, you know, from experience also, you know, when you're about to graduate, a lot of, especially management students, are really vying for a slot in the top FMCGs, right? So I guess if you can share, you know, do you think that your extracurricular activities, based on what you've shared so far, you know, really impacted or really contributed a lot to basically getting that job in Unilever?
If I were to be honest, I think it did. But then again, you know, it's really what you put on paper that will get you that potential interview. So it helped in two ways. One was, of course, the line item. So your org, your position, your title, the activities you were part of and you spearheaded,
that helps you stand out. And that's a completely different topic altogether, like how to make your resume stand out and how to make your credentials stand out, like on a piece of paper. But at the same time, more than putting the title on the paper, it was when I was going through my interviews and talking about my experiences and how it helped me to become a better person, a better, you know, student, marketeer. That's sort of what really helped me get through and get the job. Because at the end of the day, you would know best about the experiences you went through. Because even if you put, for example, and I'll just be, you know, super specific about this. Like, I was vice president of HR, right? And AMA is a home org. But there are so many home orgs in Ateneo. And there are so many other vice presidents, you know? So it's not that, if I'm going to say that one line, it's what you put on paper. But at the end of the day, it's how I talked about my experiences, the projects I did, what I learned from it, what the results were, etc. That's sort of what gets you through. So it's also about how you think about your experiences and how you're able to sort of share it and how you're able to communicate those experiences to your interviewer, more than what's actually written on paper. Because there are other people who had a minor in marketing. There are other people who had minors in another language. Other people were part of several orgs, probably had higher positions than me, and also had higher grades and those credentials to put on paper. But yeah, at the end of the day, if you know what you went through and you know what the results were and you know how to sort of communicate it, which is very important, because at the end of the day, at least in my industry, communication is so important. Like how you talk to consumers, how you talk to your cross-functional team, how you talk to agencies, you know, how you deliver a brief, etc. It's sort of a key skill in my industry. So that was that definitely helped.
Thank you. I guess, you know, hearing from what you've shared so far, it's really, you know, not more than having, you know, a Latin honor there as a one-liner in your CV, or more than, you know, having that another one-liner from your extracurricular activities. I guess since we're talking about CVs now and we're talking about, you know, how do you stand out, knowing that, you know, HR would probably receive thousands, if not, you know, multiple piles of CVs from different people who'd want to apply. So what do you think employers like, you know, big FMCGs or even other companies in general look for interns or their applicants? And as a follow-up to that, what are the key things do you think people should put in their CVs or to make sure their CVs stand out?
Yeah. So my biggest advice is, because there's no one specific formula to what all these companies look for. But my biggest advice, which I also wish I knew early on, is to not be shy about your accomplishments. And to always think of the perspective of an HR person or of an employer who is reading your resume and has no idea, possibly has no idea what you're talking about. For example, barely anybody outside of Ateneo knows what a TNT is or what a TNT does. So if I put in TNT head there on a resume, like they're going to be like, what is this? You know what I mean? Like it's very important to contextualize, especially when you're talking about accomplishments or activities or projects or terms that employers might have no idea about. So even for example, even if it's your org like AMA or Celadon, you don't just put AMA, you really spell out Ateneo Management Association and you talk about how it's a home org and things like that. So context is very important. And once you provide the context, just really leave out the keywords. So I always try to keep my resume as short as possible. 1-2 pages max. Max na yung 2 pages. Like anything more than that, it's just like, you know, nobody's going to have the time to go through that. So if you're able to really give context, to just highlight the key points and to bring that together in something as short as possible, 1-2 pages, then you're good to go. But yeah, it like very important to really like, if you were heading the project, really put there that you were heading the project, you know what I mean? And then that's gonna be very important, because that's what's gonna make employers and HR people more curious about you, which is what you want at the end of the day.
Agree. Actually, that's also one thing that, I mean, I've interviewed some people for the internship before, and I guess from my end, that's also one thing I noticed, you know, it's really how they carry themselves as well. So the CV just gives, it's a foot in the door, right? It gives you that first step where the employers might find you interesting. But at the end of the day, like we said, you know, the moment we have this interview, how you carry yourself during that interview is the one who's going to set you apart.
For sure. Yeah. Super agree.
I guess now we've talked about, you know, mostly on the college and also how you improve your CV. I guess we, you know, move forward to dealing with the real world right now. So I guess a lot of, you know, college students right now or fresh grads are still wondering, you know, how do we deal with the real world? What kind of skills do we have to develop as early as now so that we, you know, we could survive?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, it depends on what you want to do. It depends on what you want to be involved in. If you want to work for a company for life, if you want to work for a company first and then eventually try your hand at a new business, or if you want to go straight to starting your own business. What I will say is that college is a very good incubator to sort of test those things. And you will have so many opportunities also. So in fact, it's so much easier now, because even if you want to try starting your own business, you can do it through Instagram. You can do it with your own network, which we didn't have when we were in college. Right. So it's actually like so much easier to test and see what you want to do. And if you want to do both, that's also possible. So I know a lot of people who are working full-time jobs, but have, you know, small businesses on the side. Like they start something on Instagram with their friends, or they're just doing something else online. And that's normal. And even employers now see it as like a good thing. So it honestly depends. And while you have the time to experiment, and more importantly, while you have the time to experiment with as little risk as possible, I would just encourage people to go for it. I mean, if you have, for example, like if you have a full-time job and you have the time to work on something on the side, you don't need to quit your full-time job if you're able to manage both. You know what I mean? Like if it's available, if the resources and the time is available to you for you to experiment on something, then why not just go for it and just try it out?
I really love what you've shared so far. And, you know, it gives me that flashback when we were in college. It seems like a long time ago, but it's still close to my heart. Like, I mean, some people are actually wondering.
It was very long.
Why do you still want to talk about college if you've been out for college for like around 5 years or so? But I think it's still the fact that there are still a lot of college students who are still asking these questions, who are still lost. I think no matter how long we've been out from college, whether it's a year or, you know, 6 years, at the end of the day, I think at that point in time, we go through the same, you know, struggles, we go through the same questions. Yep. And especially, you know, ask DL this, it's always been the struggle for me because I have no, you know, older brother or older sister to ask, right? It's always studying CCAP. I always have to ask, you know, people who are older than me in orgs or let's say in college or in work for advice. And it's really parang sarili talagang sikap to understand what's the right path for me or what's the right formula that's going to work for me. And I think it's also the same for other students right now. So I think given that, I mean, from your college experience, what are the tips or learnings that you had during college that you could share to basically college students now, and also even those fresh grads who are still trying to look for work right now? It's really harder given the pandemic situation.
So I would normally give a different set of advice if this were pre-pandemic, but I do recognize that things are a lot more challenging now, and these are, you know, new situations that we haven't faced before. In fact, I can't imagine college without physically being with my classmates and orgmates. So I really like it's very different. But I think the core principles are the same. And my tip to those who are going through college and those who are, you know, looking for their first job. Well, the first is, if you don't have it all figured out, that's okay. Regardless of circumstance, whether it's pandemic, pre-pandemic, 10 years ago, with Instagram, without Instagram. And, you know, it's okay if, you know, you're sitting there and it seems like other people have it figured out and maybe you don't. I would highly encourage people to focus on their own journey and take things one day at a time. Like, it is okay to you know, to not have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan just yet. It's okay to have a dream and a vision, and I would encourage people to do that. But if you don't have it all figured out, that's okay. Like, just take things one day at a time. The second is, okay, maybe you don't have it all figured out and you don't, you know, and you're taking things one day at a time. But my second tip would be, make the most of every day as well. So do, and it can be a lot of things. Okay. If for you, a big accomplishment of the day, it's just taking time off for yourself and recharging yourself mentally and emotionally, then that's already a big deal. And that's something to be proud of. If making the most out of your day involves having your checklist and making sure that, you know, you send out your resumes, you deliver everything you're supposed to deliver today, you're talking to all the people you're supposed to talk to today, and you're just checking things off that day, then that's good. Because, you know, at the end of the day, and I think what this year has taught us is we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So if you're able to do something today for yourself or for somebody else, and accomplish something for yourself, then do it and just go for it. Like, go for, what will make you, accomplish something today. And that's, you know, regardless of whether you're in college or whether you're looking for a job or whether you want to transfer jobs and you're feeling a bit lost, because it gives you that sense of purpose. And it also makes you able to focus on things other than yourself, because a lot of the struggles I've encountered, and I think people my age and also younger people have encountered, is when you think inwardly too much, it sort of consumes you, you know? So it's very important to always have something to look forward to, whether that's a job or a small business or just reaching out to other people. And that gets you through the day and the next day, and that just sort of, you know, helps you move forward. And we're all still alive anyway, like, you know, we're all still living, and it's a new day. Tomorrow's another day. So yeah, that's it. And I'm just really hoping that this also sort of helps other people in figuring out what they want to do.
Thank you. Actually, I really want that to happen. It's actually the reason why I started doing this. It's really just to help others, you know, figure things out. Or if they haven't got things figured out, at least it gives them a comfort saying it's okay. Like what you said, you know, if you don't know what to do yet, yeah, it's fine. I mean, it took a while for me. It took a while for a lot of people. It's not something you could immediately, you know, figure out at the onset. If you do, then that's, you know, lucky you and good for you. But not everyone, you know, is experiencing that way. So, yeah, I mean, we've talked about college students, fresh grads. I think for those who have been working for quite a while, another thing that they typically have, you know, struggle with is work-life balance. And, you know, seeing that you have a full-time job and you also do electric studio at the side, maybe you could, you know, share some tips on work-life balance.
Okay. And I love talking about this, by the way, because another big misconception, at least for my industry, is that if you're working a full-time job, you have to dedicate your life and soul and like all your hours to that full-time job. And that is just not correct. I mean, it's not necessarily true, at least in my, and I'm living proof of that, I think. But I do recognize that a lot of factors really had to happen for me to be able to do this. And before I was teaching indoor cycling, I was doing indoor cycling. And it came to a point, my office, the old Unilever office, was all the way in Paco and UN Avenue. I lived in Alabang. The studio at that time was in BGC, right? So no matter what time I left Paco, I would just not make it to BGC at 8:30 p.m. I just wouldn't. Like, the traffic was just whatever. I'm not even going to talk about that. So I made a conscious effort to wake up early and to ride the 6:30 a.m. classes because that was the only time slot I could catch. And I did that. You know, so it's a mix of also engineering your way to find and to make time for things that you want and that you know will make you happy. And everybody is given the same 24 hours in a day. We all have our own set of challenges, no matter what industry or what background or where you live or whatever. But if you truly want something, you are gonna find a way to make it work. It's as simple as that. So that bleeds into work-life balance. And I was able to teach also because, you know, eventually office mates also started riding electric and, eventually like even my boss started riding, my boss back then. And when I started teaching, he would ride my classes and that was a great support system. So if you're listening and you're a boss of somebody and somebody's reporting to you, I just have to say that sort of thing helps a lot. Like it means the world to someone who's reporting to you. So if you're able to support your direct reports in any way, people you work with in any way, you know, buying from their small business, attending their classes, whatever, leaving a comment on social media, it really helps a lot. So it's really about how you manage your time also, because just because you're spending 12 hours in the office does not mean you are efficient. It doesn't necessarily mean you are efficient. I also did a lot of things. Like I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be one of those people who took like 1-2 hour meriendas. And these are things I sacrificed just to be able to get the job done faster, to be able to get the job done earlier so that I could, you know, do my own thing. And I had office mates, for example, and it's really different for everyone. Huh? So I had office mates who would go out for dinner and then go back to the office and continue working. But what I decided to do was I would just really just try to, you know, work as fast and as hard as I could so that I could leave the office by 6 or 7 and teach my 7 p.m. class. So these are things that you have to work on and you have to adjust in your own way. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, if you really want something, you're going to find creative ways. You're going to find ways to make it happen for yourself. And that's it. Like all the excuses will just die in your head. And instead you're going to find reasons for doing what you want to do and you're going to find ways to make it happen. So it's really also a big shift in perspective.
That's true. Actually, we often hear people say that if you really want to do something or if it's something that you're so passionate about, you'll do it regardless, you know, of any reasons that you can think of, any hindrance, you'll just find a way around it and just do it.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate your time today. And I learned so much, you know, from our conversation this afternoon. And I think, you know, just to recap what you've said so far, going back to that misconception that, you know, grades, you know, are all that matters to in college, or grades are that important for you to get to that first step, or it's really something you could focus on. Now we're talking about more on extracurricular activities, how it shaped us more than, you know, what we learn in books. It really shaped our personality, how we deal with other people, how we communicate what we want to communicate, and basically develop our personality to prepare us to deal with the real world. Because, you know, like what we said, it mirrors what we do, right? In any corporate job or even when we start our own business. And we also tackled, you know, how do we stand out in our CVs, and also how to make most of what we have in college, and also in, you know, when during your first job, all the way down to work-life balance. So, andami nating pinag-usapan, and I really thank you, Jam, for your time.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, of course. So I think it's great you're doing this. Hopefully it helps somebody out there. And yeah, like, I mean, I'm all for, so thank you also for, you know, helping bring this message across to people. It is so important, and hopefully it helps somebody.
At the end of the day, like what I said, if it's something I'm passionate about, you know, sharing this message across, I really hope it helps someone. I don't care if it's like, you know, five people or even less, as long as it helps someone. I think this is what really matters to me, at least for this podcast.
For sure.
So I guess my last question is, since this podcast is about misconception, if you can you share, you know, what is a common misconception about you?
A misconception about me, I guess, like, people, I touched on it earlier, people think I have it all figured out, and I guess that comes with, because, you know, on social media, you see the highlights more often than not, and you see you tend to remember the accomplishments, but the thing is, like, there are many days where you just put your head, where I just put my head down and try to do the work and also try to get through things one day at a time. Honestly, like, it's not easy going through, you know, trying to figure things out along the way. I used to be so jealous of my classmates in grade school, in high school, who at such a young age, were like, oh, I'm so sure I want to be a lawyer. I am so sure I want to be a doctor. And that path was set for them early on. But now I'm really realizing the beauty and the journey. And I think, you know, it's so beautiful to be able to do new things and to try new things and to figure out, like, who you really are as a person. And the biggest anchor I have is just a personal purpose that allows me to sort of go through things day by day. So yeah, that's it. Like, I think like that's a common misconception about me, but honestly, like, just like everybody else, I think we are all figuring it out, especially during this pandemic, especially during this season of our lives. And it's really about going through things one day at a time.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So I guess that's it. I mean, thank you so much again for joining me today. It was really an insightful session. So I hope, you know, all of our listeners could still listen to the other episodes in the future in case you have more questions in terms of, like, work-life balance, in terms of pursuing your passion versus your profession and all that. So I guess that's it. Thank you very much again, Jam.
Thank you, Mish. It was great talking to you.
That's it for today's episode of Mishconceptions. If you enjoyed it, please share this online or with your friends. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, Mishconceptions Podcast, and do follow us on Instagram at Mishconceptions. See you in the next!